Two men, one desire, one podcast. They wanted to talk to people because they have no friends. A podcast so fun and addicting, you'll want to tell all your friends. Bringing you high-quality people at one low price. Free. Full of excitement. Full of action. Tim and Andy in Second Best Podcast.
Good morning, Andy.
Hello, Tim.
Andy, did you get a haircut?
No, it's getting long.
It looks different, and that's why I thought maybe you got a haircut.
No, nope. I just thought I'd try not looking hot all the time.
I don't think that's possible. I mean, look at you. You're an Adonis.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe you other than a Greek god. What's your shirt say? I saw dad at the top. Dad, the man, the realtor, the legend. All right. I thought it was going to be a reference to dad bod. just talking about the Greek Adonis.
I reposted a picture of my daughter, Hannah, and I. She got me a shirt that says the world's greatest, okayest dad.
Yeah, that's probably applicable to most dads.
Yes, yes.
Andy, do you remember, as a kid, was there a vacation that you took, maybe with your parents, family, whatever, that like stands out to you as like, God, I think about that vacation frequently or whatever?
You know, for 15 years, my family went up to a resort in Alexandria, Minnesota. And it was called Binjo Sands. We went up there with a bunch of families, and then that group of families, we got joined by other people during that same time. So we all became friends. So we took over the resort to the point where, as I was probably 14 on up, the owner of the resort actually went on vacation when we were there, because we just took care of the resort. You know, one of us cut the grass, one of us, ran the store, and it was kind of fun for him too. I think about that place a lot. It's not there anymore.
Okay. I was going to ask if it's still in existence.
You know, the house that we rented was like a log cabin.
Yeah.
You know, there was three of them in a row. And I believe somebody bought the cabin. I think the land was owned by the resort owner when he retired. And then he sold the homes. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I saw they put a two-story on it. I did like a Google Maps and saw they put a two-story on it. But I had great memories up there. You know, I was probably in the little bit younger generation of the kids that were up there. But nonetheless, a lot of fond memories. How about you?
I was thinking about that, and that's why I asked. I was like, yeah, you know, there's two vacations that really stick out. One when I was, I don't know, seven, six, I don't know how old I was, but we went to Disney World. My dad and my uncle was there, and then we met my grandma and grandpa out there. And that was fun. And then the other one was my brother, my grandma, and I went to a dude ranch in Cody, Wyoming.
Yep.
For 2 weeks we were there. A lot of horseback riding, like in the mountains and camping, and there were bears and this and that. Like it was super cool. And then after those 2 weeks, then we went to Galveston in Texas. So like on the coast there. And it was just like one of those summer long vacations, like hanging out with grandma and my brother.
Do you like to camp?
Yes and no. I like to camp. I like to set up camp. I don't like to take down camp. And when I say camp, I'm talking
tents.
Yeah, tents and basing out of your car. You know, the Minnesota state parks, you can pull in. Some of them have electricity. Most that we've stayed at don't. But you pull in your car, you set up your tent and have your fire and hang out. And maybe go do an excursion during the day wherever you're camping.
Not much different than living in the trailer home.
right. One time we were going to stay at, oh gosh, what was the campsite was a state campsite, and it was something like Split Rock Campgrounds or something. And, you know, being from Minnesota, I always associate Split Rock with the Split Rock Lighthouse up in Duluth. So we figured we're going to Duluth, you know, and that's north. Well, it wasn't until the night before when I was like, okay, I should probably figure out exactly where this campground is. No, it was like in Pipestone or somewhere. So it was like way down south versus going way up north. So it's a good thing that I looked before we like just started driving. Could you imagine leaving from the city's area, drive all the way up to Duluth to go to Split Rock Campground, and then you're like, oh shit, it's like in Pipestone, like the opposite end of the state.
Now, Pipestone has got some history. They, first of all, it's all muddy water in southern Minnesota. There's no clear water, which kind of sucks for lakes and stuff. But they had Pipestone Mariner. They used to make ships and vessels.
Oh, really?
I actually owned a Pipestone Mariner tri-hull. I know that's exciting for a lot of people.
I don't know what a tri-hull is.
Tri-hull is a fiberglass wedge for a boat. And
I still don't know what the
front,
you're talking
about. Instead of it coming to a V in the front, it was kind of squared off. And then underneath was kind of these shapes in this fiberglass like this. So it looked like a tri-tune in a way. It was a terrible boat for...
What the hell are you talking? What is a tri-tune? Is this like a pontoon?
Pontoon with three floats.
Okay. All right. Now okay. I know what you're talking about. Andy, I've never owned a boat. Never will own a boat.
Get up with the times, man. I mean, no. Like on the river, I would love a pontoon. But on the river, you probably want a tri-tune because they're more stable.
Okay.
So.
Anyway, so... You owned one of these.
Tri-tunes. I owned a Pipestone Mariner boat that was in my father-in-law's barn. And this boat had, it was lime green with a white bottom. And it had black and white checkered seats. And it was in this barn, had more bird shit on it than anything else, and had a 65 Merc on the back. And I asked my father-in-law, I said, what do you want to do with that boat? And he says, you want it? Take it. I brought it back home, and the body shop next door to us at the landscape company, he painted the top half blue and put a new floor in and redid the seats. And actually, it looked really nice for what it was.
Now, what lake is it currently sitting at the bottom of?
You know, it's actually still alive, believe it or not. Oh. But what I found out, to get a used lower section of a motor at that time, I had to go to a junkyard, and it was still $500. Jesus. So that was back 30 years ago, 28 years ago or so. And so it wasn't exciting. It was a wedge. But one of my employees, he says, I wouldn't be caught dead in this thing. Well, then I got it all cleaned up and painted and everything. And then who was in the first one in the boat was this guy. But we took it down the St. Croix. I know, right? Learned from his boss. And we took it down the St. Croix. And I realized real quick that I don't want to own a boat unless I live on water, because it just costs too much money. So I brought it back down. I go, here are the keys.
You know, all fixed up.
Yeah, my brother-in-law used it for years, so... But yeah, we should probably introduce this guy, because
we have had a heck of a time getting him on. Like, we've wanted him on since the beginning, when we thought, you know, we should start a podcast just so we can talk to this guy. Right.
Like, this is all what it's about. This is why my bank account's bleeding, because of this man.
Right.
Some like to call him the popcorn man. Some like to call him the mini donut guy. We like to refer to him as asshole.
No.
I'm sorry. We're recording now. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to introduce Drew from Drew's Popcorn. Hello, Drew.
Guys, how you doing?
What up, Drew?
How are you guys? Good. I got to tell you, I have been scrambling to try to find something better to do this morning.
He called me yesterday.
I said, you know what? Screw it. I guess I'll just log on.
Get this over. Yeah, get it over with so Andy will leave me the hell alone. Yeah.
He called me yesterday. Now, listener, we got to fill you in. So I've known Drew. He sold his.
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
Whoa, Andy.
I take offense that you use the not the plural of listeners. Like there's one person listening. Listener.
Okay. We got three. We have three.
All right.
There's three of us right here, so that's good.
Hopefully our significant others. Drew, that would be a goat if you help you out there.
Gotcha.
So Drew used to sell his popcorn at my stores, and we became friends. And then he did a mini donut trailer in Bloomington, and it was a huge draw. And so he did it about once every couple months, and it was so much fun. And in the beginning of the podcast, we said, "Okay, who are we gonna invite?" And I says, "Well, I've got some friends that do things, and Drew's popcorn." So I think we wanted to get Drew on like the third episode, even the second episode. And the first excuse was, it's my son's birthday. I forgot about it.
Yeah. Okay. That's the part that needs to be called out. Like, I forgot that we were doing something for my son's birthday, whatever. Not like, I can't because I have a prior commitment. Like, a commitment was made to us, right? And then it was reneged.
I'm not going to deny that.
All right.
The second time, he goes, "You know what, Andy, I got to go to a funeral." It's like, well, okay, that stuff happens. Now, the third time gets a little sketchy. He called me up after I sent him a couple of emails, and then he called me up, and he said that I had a heart attack. I'm sorry. I had a heart attack, and yeah, I'm in
bullshit.
The hospital. Yeah, bullshit is right. Biggest.
See, so I think I feel like I'm about to have another heart attack right now. So I gotta
and it's not funny, but
it's funny.
It's kind of funny. Like the quantity of excuses. Yeah. And then like with the heart attack, like Drew, you're like, I'm assuming around my age, not Andy's age, because he's way older.
He's old.
Yeah. Around my age, and like you're sitting there immobile from just eating too many mini donuts, right? You look in a general normal, status of a human. So like a heart attack, Jesus Christ.
Status of a human.
I'm just trying to be like,
and for the single women out there, the status
he's a cat.
Of a human.
But I mean, you're not like, I don't know. I don't see any outstanding disabilities or anything like that that might lend you to prone to having a heart attack.
Well, you're not able to see into my mental disabilities. That's the problem.
Right? The silent disabilities.
Drew and I go to the same meeting together. Yes.
Yeah, right.
Crazy.
Right. No, guys, I'm 47, and they kept reminding me how young I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking about it, and I think it's all stress related. A lot of it.
I was gonna say, I gotta run in a popcorn empire must be stressful.
No,
you wouldn't think it is, but it really is. There's so many moving parts that you've got to be paying attention to.
Yeah,
Drew, we've been friends for a long time, so I know the problem. You need to delegate. Delegate.
That's what I have a big problem with, is delegation. And I've been able to kind of step away from our popcorn stands on campus at the university.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the mini donuts, I put it all on myself, and I got to stop doing that.
But you love it.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Let's talk about Andy. So we have some understanding or background of what the hell Drew's popcorn and mini donut is. And at this point, the one listener knows like, hey, the guy must sell popcorn and donuts, but where is your popcorn? Is it just one donut truck? I think so. But like, give us a scope. Give us an understanding of, you're in stadiums, you're on the campus, your popcorn is in retail stores.
Okay, shut up and let him answer, for crying out loud.
God damn it.
Yes, this question will go on and on.
I think you said it all, so next question.
I hate you.
No, let me see. let me start at the beginning. So I said, I'm 47 years old right now. When I was 24, I decided that I was going to start a mini donut business after failing out of college. I went to University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, and school just was not my deal. So I decided that I was going to move forward and try something new. And I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't know if that it would be in the food business like that. But I had gone out with some friends for dinner and some drinks. And after I had, gotten kicked out of college, and they're asking me how everything's going, how are you doing? And I said, my life is great, but I work this full-time job at Sony Electronics in the repair center. And I'm just taking in people's broken cordless phones. Remember when you used to have cordless phones?
Yeah.
I don't do that anymore, but I used to take that in and the big monster TVs and everything. And I would just have to input all the information once it came in. And I was just getting sick of it. And I knew it was a dead end job. So I thought, well, I'm going for dinner with some friends, check out, see what's going on. And they said, have you ever thought about selling mini donuts? And I was like, mini donuts? What do you mean?
Yeah, that seems pretty random.
Like super random. But they happened to have a friend that was in the mini donut business. And so I said, that's interesting to me. So we talked about it a little bit, and then I left the restaurant, went home, got on my dial-up internet connection.
Can you make the noise?
No.
Let's say you're connected. Yeah, nice. There you go.
Oh, those years of porn.
I don't know what you're talking about, Andy.
No, it's popcorn.
Oh, Andy. Sorry. I'm popcorn, sorry. I'm sorry. Porn. I thought this was the porn trailer.
So I get on my dial-up internet. The porn is not loading fast enough, so I decide to search for Mini Donuts Minnesota. That was my search.
Okay.
And I came up with a company that was based out of Plymouth, believe it or not, and they sold the whole setup for the mini donut operation to get going for anybody, right? It was really easy. They had the tables, the mixer, the spatula, everything you needed. Yep. So I started looking at some stuff and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to give them a call and check it out and see what the deal is here. And so I called them, it was Saturday night at 11:30 or midnight or something. So I left a message, got a call right away on Monday. And the guy says, hey, I got your message. We'd love to show you what we're all about. You want to come in and we'll make donuts for you. I thought, hell yeah, I'll come in and make
sample some donuts. Were you still hungover when you went there on Monday?
No, because I was in my 20s, so that went away as soon as you remember. Yeah, if it was today, yes, for sure.
Because I've just imagined the voicemail that you left them at, 12, 1 o'clock.
I want to buy a trailer.
Yeah. I want donuts.
I'm really hungry.
White Castle's too far.
So I get this voice, or I get a call back on Monday, and I say, you know what? I'd love to come in and check it out. So I go in. I have no business plan, right? No idea how to even fry a mini donut.
Yeah.
No events lined up, nothing. Okay. So I go in, of course, I'm sold instantly. I'm like, yep, I have to do this.
Yeah, you're like, these are delicious. It seems easy.
And then of course they're talking about the profit margins involved. And it's like, okay, done deal. So he gives me the presentation, and then I say, yep, where do I sign? So I spent $10,000 that I did not have. And do you remember when you used to get, I think you still get them, to check from the credit card company.
Yep.
That's $10,000, and it'll say your name. And then all you have to do is endorse the thing, put it in your account, and it's a done deal.
Right.
So I did that.
A done deal at 27% interest rate.
No, but I didn't care.
Right.
Because I said, I'm starting my business and I don't care. So so I endorsed it over, and the money went into my account. I bought this whole setup. It was over $10,000.
Now, describe the setup. Is this just the equipment, or is this a trailer as well?
So this is just a mini donut machine.
Okay.
and then like a table to put the donut machine on, like a specialized.
Okay, so you would then take your stuff that you bought, set up wherever you're at, whatever event, and then sell kind of open air or under a tent or something.
Yeah, so we did under a tent because at the time, you know, I could not afford to purchase a trailer.
You didn't have another really one of those checks to just sign.
You know, after you sign one of them, they kind of hold off on sending more. And I was hoping to see the other card.
Now, Drew, you live in a trailer. Couldn't you just put it in the back? I mean, couldn't you, you know, adjust your living room?
I could, but there's not proper ventilation in my trailer. So
he's single, women. Come and get him.
So you went to your first event. Where was that at, your first?
So. Okay, so I get all the stuff, right? Yeah. Ships to me. And then I look in the mirror and go, okay, well, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. I mean, I have all this stuff. I have no events booked. Mm-hmm. I don't have friends like Andy Calton that I can call and say, hey, can I come to your hardware store and set up and try to do this stuff, right? And so
I'm kind of a big deal.
You are.
You are a big deal, Andy. I mean,
look how big that head is. Jesus.
And so I start brainstorming and thinking, okay, well, where can I go? This is in like April when I purchased this stuff. Mm-hmm. Where can I go this summer? So I start calling around all these different places, you know, like Grand Old Day in St. Paul. That actually ended up being our first event. The woman gave me a break and said, yeah, you can have a booth here. And so I tried. That was our first one. And it was fairly successful, but you know, I had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did you have like a trial run? You like maybe a block party? You know, invite the neighbors over? No, you just went in. You're like, I'll figure this shit out when we're there.
Yeah, and that event, you know, 20 something years ago, may have been the startings of my heart attack.
Eating what didn't sell.
Right. No, the stress of like trying to figure it out on the fly.
Yeah,
the stress was huge, and I had even arranged with one of the shop owners to pull power from their shop.
Yep.
And they said, oh yeah, no problem, for sure. And then I get there, the shop's all locked up, so there's really no way to get power, and somehow we ended up scamming power off somebody that had a generator next door to us. It was a bit disastrous.
Yeah.
But we got through that event, and then I was able to book a couple other events that year. Mm-hmm. And I honestly can't even remember which ones they were.
Yeah.
But enough where I thought, well, I'm going to, you know, give this a try again next year. And so that was the summer of 2000. Now we're in the summer of 2001. And then I let somebody tell me how great Sturgis Motorcycle Rally is. Okay.
I don't really picture, you know, guys on Harleys and other motorcycles, like, yeah, Andy, I don't think I ever shared this one. So when I was in the Marines, we went to like a Denny's or something, and like, you know, myself and a couple of the other guys, and we're at this Denny's, and you know, here are these manly men, and they're ordering like, I'll take a triple sausage platter, I'll take a, you know, standard breakfast shit, and then here's me. And this is what it was called on the menu. I'm like, I'll take the cinnamon swirl French toast. And then,
well, you know, so, don't ask, don't tell, you know,
right? Like, I'm like, hey, that's what it's called. And it was delicious. So, yeah. So did you
get a lot of shit for it though?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They're like, Tim, I had that cinnamon swirl French toast. Like, leave me alone.
I'm uncomfortable.
So anyway, so you went to Sturgis and
what you said is exactly what happened. These biker guys want brats.
Yeah.
Double sausage breakfast, whatever, you know, and beer.
They want the phallic food. They don't want.
What about the babes? Weren't the girls coming over to you?
To see me, but not for the point.
That's a stretch.
Another time when the heart palpitations were coming,
right?
Because they're talking to him, and he's like, "God, what do I say? Hey, babe, check out this super cinnamony donut,
listeners."
Well, I always like to tell them how I put the holes in the donuts. Okay, so anyway, so Sturgis was a disaster. I had, just to give you an idea of how busy I thought it was going to be. I had an entire pallet, 2,500 pounds of mix shipped out to South Dakota.
Yeah.
So 50 bags, and we shipped back 48 and a half. Oh. And most of that other half was wasted.
I'm laughing.
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because one, it's funny, you know, because a lot of small businesses go through these learning, learning phases, and you know, that's a relatable fuck up, and it's a long time ago, right? So I feel it's okay to laugh.
No, it is okay. It's because I laugh at it now because you know it was such a great learning experience.
Yeah.
For me. And there are so many more details to this story, but the big one that I'll tell is I brought 7 additional people.
Staffing it up. Okay.
And I promised them each $750 to come for the week. And then I rented a duplex, half of a duplex.
Sure.
For all of us to stay, right?
Yeah.
And it was just a complete mess. I mean, I lost so much money. I had to call my parents and have them wire me money so that I could pay these people.
Hey, Dad, you remember that donut thing I was going to do that you told me not to do? Well,
you need $3,000 just to get home.
Note to self, don't go in business with Drew.
But Dad, check it out, Dad. I'm going to bring you as many donuts as you want.
Oh, shit.
So they had to wire me money. We got through the week. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Sturgis, but it is hotter than hell there. There were days we had a thermometer inside of the trailer. And it was 115 degrees one day.
Yeah, no.
And there were days where we just didn't open because it was too hot. And
well, that's why you didn't sell donuts, dude. You got to open.
Exactly. I mean, and going back to what you said, Tim, I should have thought about, okay, do bikers really want these fluffy,
delicious donuts? Yeah.
Delicious donuts. And the answer is no, they do not.
Hey, there's some bikers. Oh, there's Tim. Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, look at me. I'm all for the donuts. When did things start to turn around?
Well, we finished Sturgis, came home, and then kind of booked another season the following summer. But before that summer started, I got a letter from the Internal Revenue Service stating that I was getting an audit. And it was a CRA, which stands for Compliance Research Audit.
Okay.
So what happened was I was taking the money. It was all cash back then. There was no credit card.
Yep.
I was claiming everything that was coming through the window because I wanted to pay off my loans and get everything square, right? Mm-hmm. But I was going to the bank and making cashier's checks or money orders directly to Chase, who loaned me the money, over $3,000, which is a trigger level for the IRS and everything.
Okay.
So what that looked like is I was laundering money.
Well, yeah, in this failing donut truck, they're like, nobody goes to Sturgis, Drew. Like, they're like, this is all red flags, bro.
All red flags. So it red flagged in their system, and I had to go and do an in-person compliance research audit. With his name was Tom. I'll never forget him. And we sat down. It was 4 hours.
Did you bring him donuts?
But there's even, I'm jumping ahead of myself. So I get this letter and I'm freaking out. I start preparing, I had all my receipts. I had mileage logs. I had everything that the IRS wants. Right.
Yeah.
So I, all of the receipts in order to get ready for this audit.
Yeah.
So we got that done and, you know, it's a couple months waiting time to go in for the audit. You're not going to believe this. While I'm waiting to go in, the time period of waiting to go in and get audited, my donut trailer that I had purchased that year also
was caught on fire. Did it catch on fire?
Oh, was stolen.
Some asshole stole it.
Oh my God.
And it had all of the stuff. It had 2 donut machines in it, mixers, mix, warmers, you name it, cash registers. It had everything that I needed because I was loading it into the trailer to get it going. So I was keeping it in the loading dock area of a like an office building, yeah, right where Nine Mile Brewery is, actually,
okay,
in that building. So somebody was watching me, and I think it was an inside job from one of the other places. I don't know.
One of those guys, right, that you didn't pay for Sturgis.
Well, that could be too. That you all could be. And, you know, I was 25 years old and a dum-dum, and so I did not put a lock on the trailer.
Oh,
I just let it sit there. I should have put a neon sign that says free, take me, free business. I mean, I was being so stupid. I could have spent $75 a month on secure mini storage to keep that thing locked up. But, oh, no, going to save that money.
Did you have it insured and stuff? Like,
I did have it insured, and I ended up, you know, getting a nice check back from that. But, it, you know, it's never
the same.
You don't call them. Right. You don't call them when you buy, you know, another warmer or another piece of equipment to add it. So I was underinsured, but it was enough to keep me going.
At that point, did you think about just taking that check and paying shit off and calling it a day?
Well, that's what my wife at the time said. She said, you know what? Why don't you just cash this check in, go get a job, go get a 9-to-5 job, and just call it a day and be done.
My mom would say, why don't you just go work in a factory? Like, she still had the mindset that, like, working in a factory is like the pinnacle of security, and if it's union, right, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, why don't you just go work in a factory, Tim?
And that's basically what Leslie was telling me. She was like, you know what, why don't you just cash it and run and just go get a job that's, you know how much money you're going to make every 2 weeks, you know, benefits and all this stuff.
No risk.
And there was something, no risk. And there was something in it for me. I said, no, I'm going to keep going. I love doing the food concessions, and I'm going to keep trying.
Okay.
So that's what I did. So then I went out and bought a 1965 used trailer from a carnival up in Wisconsin. And
do you think were abducted in that trailer throughout its life?
Well,
when I had it or when the carnival had it?
Well, Tim, you gotta look at
that from Andy.
Yeah, Tim, you gotta look at the picture here. He's in a basement, shadows on his face, dark rim glasses. I mean,
and
you're saying, Candy, come here, kids, come here, want some donuts. I mean,
and this cup's full of vodka too. I forgot to tell you.
How did the popcorn come into play?
Hold on. You're skipping.
Oh, sorry.
How did the audit go?
Yeah.
How did the audit go?
This is going to be a 2-hour interview, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Shit. So the IRS audit.
Oh, IRS audit. So anyway, so I get that letter and I'm like, oh, yeah. So, and then during that time, I had gotten a letter, or I had gotten my trailer stolen from me, my whole business. So I was dealing with that. Finally go in for the audit. I mean, and I had my tax guy with me, which helped a lot, because they really try to scare you. You know, they come in and slam down this huge manila folder that's 3 inches thick that says, we have reason to believe that you're cheating us out of $20,000, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then all you have to say is no. And then they, you know, they have to prove it, obviously.
Right.
But anyway, he's going through, and this was an in-depth audit. He goes through everything, you know, okay, I need to see this receipt for $36.28 from Sam's Club for lemons or whatever.
Yeah.
And I go, and then I would thumb through and I go, oh, here it is right here. And then, okay, I need to see this. I need to see this. I just kept producing evidence of everything. Mm-hmm. And somebody had tipped me off before I went in. They said, if they're not finding anything and it's just dragging on, just surrender on something and your audit will be done in minutes.
Okay.
And so I remember vividly, I almost remember the amount he said, okay, I see a deduction for insurance, for American Family Insurance, $1,128.62. I need proof of that deduction. So I went through my folder, went right past the canceled checks. That was back when you used to get canceled checks. I went all the way through and I said, I'm sorry, sir, but I don't have that. I don't have proof of that, but it's a legitimate, you know, it's insurance and I have it at home. I can fax it to you or whatever you need, you know? And he goes, nope, I'm disallowing this deduction. You cannot take this. And I said, okay. And he asked me two more questions and he folded up his book.
Huh?
And he said, it was a done deal. So it was, and they ended up actually owing me some money. And really, I think if I look at it from the business side of it, probably one of the best experiences mm-hmm. I've ever had with the business, even though it was mind-wracking, you know. Yeah. It was very scary and very intimidating, but I learned so much about what they question and what they don't. Yeah. So, you know, if I need to buy something and it's questionable, then I go back to that audit and think, okay, well,
how am I going to prove it?
How do I prove it? And if I can prove it, then done. I'll take it from the business. So,
does that include the strippers?
The strippers are no longer deductible.
Okay, no longer. All right. Note to self, Andy.
He has his own goats in the he's pet goats.
I thought we were going to talk about this, Andy.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to the business.
Yeah, how did you transition from donuts to popcorn?
I'm glad you went down that path.
Well, okay.
They don't talk back.
Okay, so we'll fast forward 7 years from when I started the mini donut business, right?
Okay.
So I go to a Gopher hockey game with my dad. That was our thing. We used to go to Gopher hockey games all the time. He had great season tickets, and they were, oddly enough, right behind the season tickets is where the mini donut was located.
Okay.
In the stadium, they had a mini donut stand. And so we go to this game in March. It's towards the end of the season. And the first thing I notice is there's no mini donuts. I'm like, Dad, where's the donuts? He goes, well, they've been gone all season. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, I got the mini donuts.
Yeah. Wow. Why didn't you tell me? And he goes, oh, I guess I just didn't think about it. So go to the game. Had a great time. I come home the next day. I'm calling the University of Minnesota. Okay, who's in charge of the food and beverage? I need to talk to them, because I want to be in at Mariucci Arena. And so they gave me the contact information. I ended up getting a hold of the guy. His name's AJ. Great guy. And I said, hey, I'd like to get together with you because I want to talk to you because I'd like to replace the mini donuts that were already there. And on the phone, he says, no, we're not doing donuts here again. The past people were too messy, and you know the smell and everything, it's just not... We don't want those back in the stadium. And I go, well, I have ways that I can change that. So let me meet with you. I want to talk to you about it. Like, no, we're not doing it. And we went back and forth a few times. Finally, he said, fine, I'll meet with you. Come to my office on this day and we'll meet. So I kind of prepared everything, figured out how much I wanted to charge for a bag of donuts, how much the sodas were going to be. And then I had my plan to take care of the air quality, mm-hmm. you know, from the ventilation and everything. So I show him all of this, and he goes, you know, this is great, but he goes, I don't know what you don't understand. We're not bringing back mini donuts here. So this is not going to happen. And I said, well, I really want to do something here in the arena. I think I could really contribute something. I think mini donuts would be great. Can we just try it? And he said, listen, do you do any other foods? And I looked at him. And I go, AJ, I'll do any food that you want. You tell me. And he looked at me straight in the eye. He goes, I want fresh popcorn. And it was just my timing was right at the time. They had comment cards for the season ticket holders mm-hmm. and asking, hey, you know, what do you want? And how's your game day experience? And a lot of them were writing, we want fresh popcorn, because they pop their popcorn in bags and then dump it into a thing and just serve it. Yep. And so it's fine popcorn, but it's not fresh. People want to see it popping fresh right in front of me.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, I can do that, I guess. And I mean, I had never popped a commercial batch of popcorn in my life. He said, okay, well, let's go upstairs and I'll show you where I want you to be, which happened to be right where the mini donut used to be. And he said, here's what I think. I think you should do some fresh popcorn. And, you know, maybe some caramel corn and some cheese corn, you know, do like a mixed bag and just, so he gave me the whole business plan and I listened and followed it to the T. So we agreed that that's what we were going to do. We're going to move forward with this, but there were some health department issues that I needed to work through as far as ventilation goes and some other things. So we did that. And then about 9 months goes by before we're really ready to go, because I'm taking time to check in and all this stuff, get the right equipment. Mm-hmm. What kind of popcorn am I going to use? What kind of oil am I going to use? And I called AJ and I said, okay, I'm ready to go. for this season. He goes, okay, well, get your stuff shipped here, get it set up, and you can try it out here for men's hockey. So we got it set up, and the first night was a pretty good success, in my opinion. Okay. And we sold a bunch of popcorn and then had a good night and left. And then came back to the next event and sold some more popcorn, had a good event. But we had some people asking, say, do you have any caramel corn? Do you have any other types of popcorn that, you know, I said, well, no, we don't have caramel corn right now, but, you know, maybe we'll try that in the future. So I get done with that game and I go down and talk to AJ after the event. He's like, how'd it go? And I said, good, but, you know, I'd really like to sell some caramel corn here. And he goes, well, where are you going to get it? And I said, well, I'm going to make it. And he said, well, what do you mean you're going to make it? And I said, well, I have my grandfather's recipe for caramel corn and he taught me how to make it. And there's a whole story on the back of our caramel corn bags now. But, you know, I used to go visit him and my grandma, and we would make batches of caramel corn in their kitchen, you know, real small batches. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away, he gave me his caramel corn pot that he used, you know. And so I said, yeah, I'm going to make it, and I want to try to sell it at the games. He goes, okay, well, bring me a sample tomorrow, and I'll bring it to my wife. And if she likes it, then you can sell it. So I bring it to him, brown paper bag, you know, here you go, AJ, let me know what you think. And so he brought it home. And the next time I saw him, I go, hey, what did your wife think about that caramel corn? He goes, start selling it now.
Nice.
So I got home, and before the next game, we made, you know, 40 bags, 30 bags or whatever in my kitchen, which, you know, no health license, no nothing, but, you know, we're just getting started out, just like people start businesses in their garage.
Cottage industry sort of thing.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we brought those bags to the game and they were sold out instantly. And I'm like, we got a good problem on our hands, but I can't keep up. It's too hard. You know, spending all day in the kitchen to make 30 or 40 bags of caramel corn. And so we kind of did it for a few more games. And I said, I need to get a commercial kitchen and make this thing legit and licensed and the whole deal. So we ended up finding a place over in South Minneapolis, which we're still there today. And then I found some larger equipment where we're able to make much bigger batches. But quality is almost identical to what you get off of the stovetop when I make it here at home just for fun. So anyway, we got into Mariucci. The caramel corn was successful, and then we moved on and got that bigger commercial kitchen. And so about three quarters of the way through the hockey season, AJ Moss, he comes up to me and he says, so I want you to go over to Williams Arena for basketball.
Nice.
Okay. So he says, let's go across the street and I'll show you where I want to put you. So we went across the street. He gave me a sweet location, I think. You know, we're on the concourse at all these places, but I love our location over there. And he says, this is where I want you to be next year. So order up some stuff and I want you to be ready for men's basketball and women's basketball next year. So I did, got ready with that. And that was a huge success. I mean, you know, the basketball is really our busiest of all of the events.
Yeah.
You know, just they're very loyal. All the fans are loyal, but they're extremely loyal. So we get three quarters of the way through the basketball season that year. And then AJ says, look across the street over there. You see that big football stadium being built? I said, yeah. He goes, I want you to have two spaces over there.
Nice. Two. Jeez. Well,
two of them.
Yeah.
So
is this where the stress was kicking in here?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Definitely. Cause I'm taking all this stuff on my own. I'm doing all the legwork for it. So he says, I want you to come in for a meeting and we're going to figure out where you're going to go for next year. So I go in for the meeting and he shows me a blank map of TCF Stadium. He goes, where do you want to be? And I had like the first pick
of
where to go. Wow. Yeah. And so I said, I want to be here and here. So we're on the home and the visitor side on the 20-yard line roughly, which is great locations because you're hitting most of the stadium by doing that. And so we were there in 2009, I think it was the first year there. And we just finished up our 16th season at the university now. And I think we've got a successful business. We've got a good following. People love us. I've got a great staff that works a lot of the shifts for me. So I kind of end up just being the guy that stocks the product and all of that. So that's kind of where we're at today.
Where else though? Cause
you're in stores, Drew. You gotta get into there.
Yeah, we are in stores. So probably about when we first got the commercial kitchen about 12, 13 years ago, I just sent an email to info@lundsandbyerleys.com and said, hey, I've got this caramel corn and, you know, I'd love to get in there into your stores with it. Cause I had heard Lunds and Byerleys is very friendly with the people that are small producers like me. Yep. And that is true. I think it's still true to this day. They really want to see the small local brands go. You know, they're responsible for Angie's kettle corn. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they got bought out for $150 million like 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they started just like I did, you know, doing it in the garage or Vikings games, that type of stuff. But anyway, I got a response from Lunds and Byerleys from like the head of the whole thing, you know, saying, hey, we'd love to meet with you. So can you come and sit down? So I brought a sample to him. And then towards the end, he's like, okay, we're going to put you in 5 stores right away. And then I want to ramp that up to all of our stores in a couple months. And so then he found me a distributor, and this distributor I'm still with, they've been awesome. They go out and just sell new accounts for me.
Nice.
And next thing I know, I'm into another, you know, a new account. And a few years ago, I got a call and they said, oh, by the way, you're going to be in all of the Cub Foods now. And I didn't have to do anything for it. So we just make it and ship it to them. And then they distribute it all out for me. Yeah. And it's a great, great success. So as of right now, we're in about 200 grocery stores locally. And that's about all we can really handle right now, unless you're willing to upscale into a much larger facility.
Now, when you go to these meetings, do you spruce up? Do you get, like, are you going in a suit?
No.
Or do you?
No, I kind of look like this. Yeah, I got my Drew's. So I'll wear something that's
logoed, right? Something casual, branded,
but something logo. So that makes it so I don't have to wear a button up dress shirt or anything like that. And I'll at least take a shower.
All right, cool. Good.
Now, good Drew, are you hoping to get into south of the river along 169 in a yellow barn between Belle Plaine and Jordan? Did you know?
I am. I think I have to call.
Oh yeah,
a certain guy. Is that?
Yeah, you didn't call him yesterday, like you said you were gonna.
I didn't.
Dude, he's busy. I'm very
busy pretending that I'm working here. And since you're speaking of South of the River, we also do the mini donuts down at Seaver's Corn Maze down in Shakopee.
Oh, too. That's I've had them.
So we do. Yeah. Yep. Well, that's so. Yeah. Fun.
But you do something else down there too, dude? Don't you?
We do. So we do mini donuts, spiced caramel apples, and then one of our main things that we sell is a fresh squeezed lemonade. And it's very good. And it's even better when you put vodka in it.
For all the AA meeting groups out there, call Drew.
I'll come right to the front door. Yep. No problem. But so this past week, I had a meeting at US Bank Stadium. And I'm waiting to hear word. I got good vibes out of it, but I don't know if it's going to go through for sure. But for us to be selling our fresh squeezed lemonade on the concourse, and we would also have the ability to add vodka to these drinks, which ups the price significantly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at as far as expanding goes.
That's cool.
Much of there. Yeah.
Yeah. Congrats. So,
thank you. Just add more stress to my life.
Right? Or maybe this will be the impetus to get you to delegate and bring on somebody that can help you.
Yes.
I don't have a choice. That's what I have to do. I've got to do that. I can't do it all by myself.
Drew, right? I can be reached at 612.
Andy, he stopped listening when he's, yeah.
Yeah.
So where can people get your mini donuts at?
So we used to book out the summers. You know, I've got 2 boys, 10 and 12 years old. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to make sure I can spend a lot of time with them too and not be working all the time. So you can find them at Ace Hardware every once in a while. It's been a while since we've been up there. But the main festivals that we do Bloomington's Summer Fest, so the 3rd of July Fireworks Festival. Mm-hmm. And then we go over to Eden Prairie for the 4th of July. And then we also do Prior Lake Music Festival. If you've never been there, great event. Yeah. They get some big names this year. Leonard Skinner and Lady A are the headliners. There's a rock and a country night. It's a fun festival. And I've just really kind of tried to narrow it down to the events where I know, hey, I'm going to make this much on this night, this much on this night. Because I don't really, it's not worth it right now for me to just go sit in a parking lot and not know if I'm going to do $100 or a lot more.
Have you ever thought about heading out to like Sturges?
What about the horse track? What about the horse track?
The horse track, they have their own concessions. Okay. I've talked to them about doing some of that stuff because they've subbed some of it out. Okay. But I'm at the point in my life where I just don't want to be running ragged. If I had a full-time employee, like you were saying, Tim, which I think is a brilliant idea, then I would be able to start booking stuff out more and really delegate that stuff out. But I just don't have the time or the energy to be busy every single weekend. So yeah, I mean, I love what I do. I've had quite the adventure, leading up to this, and there's, a lot more to come. But, as we were talking about kids just now, my kids are getting to the ages where they really want to work and they enjoy working. And so I want to teach them the value of working hard and, earning money and saving. And I'm trying to teach them to save some of their money that they make, because, they can come and the thing is another nice thing that's kind of happened is the tipping situation. Mm. I mean, I kind of get annoyed with it when I go out and it's, give me a tip for ringing you up at the hardware store. They want tips everywhere. Yep. And, but that has really helped me as far as staffing goes, because, these high school kids can come out and work for me at the maze and they're making $80 each in tips. And then they get their wage on top of it.
Yeah.
But when my kids worked, I worked an event with my son last year and it was just me and him, and he ran the front register and the credit card machine and everything. And he made $125 in tips. And then I had to pay him his wage, which was far less than that. But I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Did you feel the love coming out of that? Then I had to pay him.
Yeah. I was like, aren't the tips enough?
That's awesome. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. To have the teenagers, they're far and few between that really want to work. So.
Oh, that's true. And I've been fortunate that the kids that I do get, they do want to work and they're motivated by money, but it's hard to find that these days.
You've got good workers though. Ones I've interacted with are great. I want to touch base on what you do in Bloomington. Do you still do free donut night?
Well, so we used to do them at my ex-wife's house, right in the driveway. And that was fun. We'd put it on Facebook, and then the health department got all over me because they didn't like it. And it wasn't zoned properly. So now we do them once a year up at Ace Hardware, actually. And this year it's going to be on June 1st, the last day of school. And so I've partnered with the Bloomington Blast to kind of help their organization out with fundraising. So they do a big email campaign and Facebook and everything to advertise this free donut night. And then people come up to Ace between 6 and 9 that night, and it's just free mini donuts. And then the softball players have little ice cream buckets where you're supposed to stuff 20s and 50s and 100s. And then,
they haven't met me yet.
I was going to say, you haven't seen my wallet. It's like in the cartoons, you open it up and the moth flies out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what we do is I just donate my time. I donate all the supplies. And then if I have people working, they will volunteer their time also. So it's 100% fundraiser for the blast. And bring in some good money, especially when it's a donation type of thing. If they were just charging for the bags, it wouldn't be busy and they wouldn't be able to bring in the money that they're able to when it's just a free for all for everybody.
Yeah, what is,
and I get a big charge out of that.
What is the blast?
It's a huge draw.
What about the what?
What is the blast?
Well, I'm sorry. The Bloomington Blast. It's the girls the fast pitch softball league.
Okay.
And I think it's like right when you're at the end of your elementary career, all the way up until high school. I think that it leads you all the way up to there.
Yeah, that's
a great organization.
Yeah. Would you recommend somebody get into the mini donut biz at this stage, right? I see, and actually I follow, I'm looking at my phone right now. I follow a mini donut truck, you know, on their Facebook page because they'll daily post where they're going to be. And so I just wait until they're going to be somewhere that's local ish. And then maybe, you know, my kids and I will go out and get mini donuts at in the Menards parking lot or wherever the heck it is.
Sure.
But it seems that there's mini donut trucks and things everywhere you go, you know, any carnival, anything you go. Like, so is the competition pretty stiff? Do you think you still have a pulse on that kind of competition level, you know, now that you're in these stadiums and arenas and such, you know, do you not follow that as closely?
I don't follow the competition as closely. If it was 20 something years ago and you asked me this question, I'd say absolutely.
Yeah.
Go do it. Go get into the donut business. I think it's saturated. And like I look at the contracts that I still have, and I'm very fortunate to have those. Like at Seavers Fall Festival out there.
Yep.
Nobody else is getting in with mini donuts. And I'm really lucky to have that. And hopefully I can pass that on to my kids and they can keep that contract.
Yep.
And then, you know, and then out at the 4th of July and the Prior League Music Festival, it's exclusive. They're not going to keep putting in new mini donut people because it'll just hurts everybody.
Yeah.
So I think it's tough to get, to get a contract these days, unless you're willing to sit in the Menards parking lot. Or I've noticed actually up at Ace here in Bloomington, there's a taco truck that's been coming every Tuesday and maybe every Tuesday, Thursday. I'm not sure, but they're establishing their location right there. And people know, hey, every Tuesday from 5 to 9, I can go up and get these tacos. And I'm seeing a lot of people kind of doing that with their business, which I think is brilliant because there's no overhead, that maybe they give free tacos to the hardware store or something.
Right.
But really, it's a really smart model, in my opinion. But to answer your question, no, I would not recommend jumping into the mini donut business because you need to have the contracts or the locations in order to sell, obviously.
No. Similar with popcorn too, or a little different? Like when I lived in Apple Valley, there was, I think it's called Cali's Popcorn.
Cali's,
And I like their popcorn. So anyway, popcorn, different or similar situation?
I'm going to say a similar situation. I look at the stadium contracts and like for those football games, I've got 48,000 people coming to me, right? And it's guaranteed. They're not just coming to me, of course, but there's 48,000 people in the building. They're walking past my stands. They're seeing that stuff.
Smelling that delicious popcorn.
And that's a big one there, right there, is that they can smell it. But I don't know. People have asked me before, have you thought about doing a retail location? I said, no, absolutely not. Because there's something that I love about the stadiums. You know, the game's at 5, we show up at 3:30, we're done at 8:30, and out of there.
Yeah.
And we're not open from 9 to 9.
Sure, you're not staffing all those times when people aren't coming through, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's something very appealing to me because it gives me that free time to spend with my kids or go on a trip or do, or maybe work even, I guess, huh?
Right.
We got to feed your goats too.
Andy, I feel like I've asked a lot of questions. What do you got?
I don't really care to talk to Drew.
I was going to say, I don't really want to answer this asshole's questions either.
Well, I like talking to Drew. Like, so if I don't go to a game, I could still get the popcorn at Cub or Lund's Byerly's.
Some of the Hy-Vees carry it.
Okay.
Those are the main Kowalski's.
Okay.
Those are the main brands that carry it. And then there's some, smaller one-off places that the distributor has put us in.
Yeah.
That you pick that up there too.
That's awesome.
Who's the Can you say who's the distributor?
Yeah. It's LaPerry Foods, and they're out of Burnsville, so just right down off of Cliff Road, and they've just been great. I send them an invoice, they cut me a check, and they take care of everything, because there's no way I could go from store to store and do, they call it DSD, direct store delivery, No way.
So you're stocking shelves, right? That's all that.
It's not. Yeah. That's not a good use of my time or of an employee's time either. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Your mini donuts, I push maximum density every time I go to one of your donut places. Now, when they legalize cannabis, will you have a cannabis donut? Wouldn't that
probably
now? It'd be kind of cool.
It would be kind of cool, but I don't know if I want to deal with the liability and all. And you know, a big portion of the audience for the mini donuts are families and kids. Mm-hmm. So if I go to that music festival, sure. But here's the other issue that I find is the donuts, whether they're my donuts or somebody else, they're really good.
They are.
And so you got to watch how much you're eating when you're doing that edible stuff. What if you crush a whole bucket of mini donuts?
You're out there. Yeah.
He used to bring in mini donuts at the hardware store for all the staff, and it was just miserable. I mean, I'd go home so uncomfortable.
Right. how many donuts do you think you could put down, like in your prime, Drew?
In my prime?
In your prime.
And I'd say probably at least a bucket, which would be about 32.
I'd laugh because I could probably, I think I could do that. Maybe not now, but a few years ago. Like, yeah, now I think I'd get sick.
They're the kind of things that creep up on you though.
Yeah.
You know, as you're eating it, you don't realize I just woofed down 20 of them, you know?
Well, yeah. And here's the problem too, is that, you know, we're me and all the other vendors at these festivals, we're all friends, or, you know, at least. And so I don't eat mini donuts anymore. I might eat one full bag per season.
Yeah.
Problem is the cheese curds.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, oh, let me get them curds.
Because you probably all feed each other.
Yeah, we just trade with each other. And it's that probably didn't help my little episode back in February when I had a heart attack.
And here's Drew with the Heart Association.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta tell, you know, when I told Tim that you had the heart attack, he I don't know if you left me a voicemail or you called me up, Tim, and you said, yeah, this is a Graveside Podcast with Drew's Popcorn.
Well, now I'm completely vertical, so that's good. I'm feeling better than ever. So.
That's good. That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I guess better late than never having you on here, Drew.
Yeah, I kind of enjoyed it, actually.
Kind of.
Now, Tim, he did call me yesterday, and he says, I've been working very hard to find some other thing to do besides your podcast, and I can't find anything. So he says, I will be there tomorrow.
It's spring, and if you have a dog, you could be like, oh, I got to pick up all that that winter dog shit from the yard, right? You're like, could have picked anything.
Yeah,
and then we would have came out to your house and recorded on site while you're picking up dog poo.
You know, Drew, all of our people that we interview send us all their products within a week after the podcast. So
awkward silence.
He's like, yeah, I think I still have some of those Sturgis donuts left over.
You know what I'll send you? I'll go pick up all the dog shit in the backyard, yeah. Put it in a bag, light it on fire, ring your doorbell, and I'm out.
That'd be so awesome. Like you fill up one of your Drew's popcorn bags, like with dog shit.
And then we're so excited to go out there and we, oh my God, it's on fire. And they stomp it out.
And then somehow it ends up on like Care 11 or Fox 9 special investigation. local popcorn mogul Drew's.
Hey, any advertising is good advertising.
Yeah, right.
No, that's what they say.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if, like, yeah.
So what's on tap for today, Drew?
Let's see. I don't know. It's going to be kind of a rainy day here. Maybe take the kids to the science museum and just kind of hang out. We don't have much going on, and I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your downtime's nice. Yeah. Hey, Drew, I appreciate you coming on. I mean, I still think you're a piece of shit, but,
likewise. I like Newtown though. Oh, we should hang out sometime.
Yeah, yeah. I heard you got a bead on where I can get some good donuts.
I got you.
Drew also has a condo on the Gulf of Mexico that he's willing to send us to at no cost for a week.
Yeah, just give me your availability and then I'll put that off like I did this podcast.
Good stuff.
You have
no, guys. I did thoroughly enjoy sitting down with you. It's been 1 hour, 8 minutes, and 57 seconds.
Yes, of pure
and it,
hell.
And it went like that.
Yeah. It really did. It was fun.
Thanks, Drew. Yeah. I appreciate your time, buddy.
Yeah, great meeting
you, guys.
Drew.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye.
Bye.
If you have a recommendation for a business or person to interview on the show, contact us at info@secondbestpodcast.com.